Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Even though we're not joined together, it's great to connect with you in this way. Do you know it's been 6 weeks since we gathered together in church, in the actual side inside church building. We did have a week where we met out in the chapel, and since then we've been trying to connect online. So it's really good to see you. I hope that you are finding the comfort of God's presence. It's a comfort to me to know that God is with us. And as we join together today to worship, I want to start by reading with you a psalm from Psalm 116. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, any translation you've got if you want to follow along. We're reading verses 1 to 5 and then verses 12 to 19. So I'm going to read that with you now. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is. How good he is. So merciful, this God of ours. What can I offer the Lord for all he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people. The Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die. O Lord, I am your servant. Yes, I am your servant, born into your household. You have freed me from my chains. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the house of the Lord, in the heart of Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thanks for that reading. Thanks for reading along with me. Thank you, God. I'm going to pray now, and I'd invite you to just pray with me. Dear Lord, you have so much to show us, so much to tell us. Things that no human eyes have seen. Things that no human ears have heard. Things that you have prepared for those you love. Mighty God, your promises are like shelter in a storm. To us, to our children, to all of those far and near, to everyone who hears your call. Oh, that we may have the mind of Christ, that we may know and understand your truth. We wait, Lord, as empty vessels, ready to be filled to overflowing with your living water, as you reveal your love for us through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Yesterday was Anzac Day. It's such a significant day across our nation and in New Zealand. We're going to have a few moments now to commemorate this special day. Time to remember those who've served, and you will join with me, I'm sure, in remembering people that are close to your heart, people that you know, and to say with me, let's remember them. So I'm going to hand over to John and to Tim, who are going to present a commemoration time together. Thanks.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
Let's pray. Loving Father, we gather to remember the sacrifices made by the original Anzacs and by countless others in times of war and peace. We recognise before you the courage, determination, and commitment of those who have fought for our country, seeking justice and peace for all. Be with the brokenhearted, the spouses, parents, families and friends who endure the grief of knowing their loved ones will never return. Bring them comfort, we pray. We pray for those who have survived conflict, especially those who carry the scars of war in their minds and bodies. Be with them. Strengthen them. Give us the strength and assurance that we can walk alongside those who are struggling and offer them reassurance and hope in our actions and words. May we, in our families, churches and communities, strive to practice reconciliation, understanding and peace each day to bring about the transformation of our world. May we continue to build a nation where our differences are embraced as strengths and where we resolve to seek the well-being of all peoples who make this land their home. We pray this in and through your Son's Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, John, and thanks, Tim. How great and how generous is our God towards us. In March this year, the Salvation Army started their self-denial appeal, and every year that's something that we do in the Salvation Army. And it acknowledges our workers around the world who work in the mission fields and supporting people to come to know Christ and supporting their physical needs. So this year's theme was Love Beyond. And we were to have our altar appeal, our altar service on the 29th of March, but then things happened and we haven't been able to have that time together. We received lots of payments from you, donations, your gifts, your bringing that money to us here and online. So I'd encourage you to continue to do that. We'd like to keep the appeal open for a few more weeks, but to finalise it soon would be great so we can actually make that all happen. So I'd encourage you, if you need us to come in, if you need to come in and see us, or if you need some advice about making a payment online, please get in touch with us in the office. The other thing, while I'm talking about giving, is I just wanted you to encourage you to not neglect the spiritual discipline of giving. Part of our service, part of our being a Christian is praying to God, loving God, knowing Him, and another part of that is our giving. So to give here at the Salvation Army at Caloundra, I wanted to encourage you to do that as part of your regular tithes and offerings that we have. Again, if you need some advice about giving online and you wanted to move to an electronic payment, we can give you that information here. Just got a slide about the Salvation Army giving. There, yeah, thanks. So we would encourage you to keep up that giving as a way of just thanking God for the good things that He gives to you, but also just a way to experience that richness of relationship that we have with God. So I want to thank you for that. Thank you for the generosity of good works that I've seen. I know that Love Beyond has been something we've seen in action, as we've seen in the community and seen people come and deliver things and help out. We've had members of our community drop in face masks and goods to give out to the community. Your generosity is overwhelming. Also wanted to let you know that we have Tuesday night dinners still happening, and dinners for the community have been a great way for us to connect with people, and also our Connect site if you know of anyone that's in need. Monday to Friday from 10 till 11 we're here for emergency relief. Now I don't know about you, but one thing I've really missed is seeing our kids, watching our kids come and have kids time. So today, although we haven't got any kids, I'd like to hand over to Brittany and to Jess for a special segment to give to our kids. Thanks.
are, but we are going to try and keep it as normal as possible. Absolutely. So, have you guys lost any teeth? Have you lost any teeth, Brittany?
I haven't. Jess, have you lost any teeth?
No, definitely not.
What about any birthdays? Have we had any birthdays out there this week? Jess, any birthdays?
No, I haven't had a birthday. No. Still the same age.
Neither have I.
Well, if you guys have had a birthday or if you have lost any teeth, make sure that you send us a message or take a photo, send it through to us. We would love to keep updated with you guys and, yeah, just let us know.
Yeah. Awesome. So, for the kids out there, we have recorded a special Kids Zone at home message for you guys. So your parents would have received a link. If you haven't got that link, just let us know and we'll send it out to you. Awesome.
Cool. So, yeah, just let us know. And while we've got you, we would like to all pray for our children together. So if you can join with us in prayer so that we can pray for our kids. All right. Thank you, God, so much for our children. And Father God, we just want to pray for the parents, the kids, the schools, and everyone that is experiencing all of the changes lately. And we just pray that, God, you just send your strength, your love upon everyone, and you just help each person get through all of this. And thank you so much, God, for our church family. And we thank you, Lord, that we can still be together. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Awesome, guys. Thanks for that. Maybe you could give 4 high fives in your family as we finish today. All right?
Awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Before Tim brings us his sermon, I just want to take you back a couple of weeks to Resurrection Sunday, the greatest day in history. Tim's sermon today is going to be outside. He's taking us for a bit of a walk. But this passage that I'm going to read precedes that. So he's on the road to Emmaus and he'll talk to us about that. But meanwhile, I just want to take you back to where they were, what they were feeling on this Sunday morning that for us was a couple of weeks ago. And I'm reading from the Message translation today. At the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying the burial spices they had prepared. They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of the Master, Jesus. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then, out of nowhere it seemed, 2 men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck, and they bowed down in worship. The men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He's not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up?" Then they remembered Jesus' words. They left the tomb and broke the news of all this to the 11 and the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them kept telling these things to the apostles, but the apostles didn't believe a word of it. They thought they were making it all up. But Peter jumped to his feet and ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in and saw a few grave clothes. That's all. He walked away puzzled, shaking his head. Let's head outside with Tim.
He died. I can't believe it. We all thought that he was the one. But, you know, in a city like Jerusalem, he wasn't the first to get our hopes up. Others had talked about freedom, about destroying the Romans. But Jesus, we all thought he was different. We really thought he was the one. You know, it was our hope that he was the anointed one. And this hope kept our hearts alive. It kept our hearts kindled for the new kingdom. Look, I'm rushing ahead of myself. Let me tell you who I am. I'm Alexander. I want to take you back to a few days ago. A few days ago when it all happened. It was the Sunday after Passover, and it was a bittersweet day. Only a few days ago, Jesus had been killed. And the next day, the Sabbath, we had come out of our hiding, you see, because we'd been afraid. And we found each other, but there was nothing to say. You see, he died, and we were numb. No one said anything, no one talked about anything. We just stared at each other. And then the next day we woke up and we heard the news that Peter said that maybe Jesus was alive. I mean, could it be true that he was alive? Peter said he had gone to the tomb and that it was empty, except for the grave clothes. But that didn't make any sense, an empty tomb. Well, Cleopas and I, we had places to be. We had business at Emmaus, and so we made our way there. Look, it wasn't a long walk, probably not much further than I'm walking today. About 10 km. The day wasn't too hot, it was later in the day. But it did seem hard. It did seem like a hard day, because the recent events, they'd weighed on us, they'd weighed us down, and we carried a heavy burden. And then there were the claims that the women made about the angels, and then Peter's talk of an empty tomb. I tell you, our heads were spinning. So even though there were others on the road, we didn't really notice them. We were just really focused on ourselves. We were deep in conversation, Cleopas and I. You see, during Passover, an innocent man, Jesus, was killed, crucified, hung on the cross. I'm sure you've heard about it. Everybody's heard about it. And for what? Well, only the week before, we were excited to see him come to Jerusalem. Many of us had got together to welcome him. We were out there, palm branches with our hosannas, praising God for all the mighty works we had witnessed. Oh, and we'd seen some things. But our religious leaders told Jesus to control us. Jesus had the perfect comeback though. He just looked at them and said, if they keep quiet, the stones themselves would shout the praise. It was good. And it was because it was true. That is how we were all feeling. But it wasn't too long after that that things changed. It went downhill really quickly. You see, the religious leaders, they laid a plan. They'd had a trap. And they arrested Jesus in the garden. And to my shame, I ran away. And then there was the whipping and the shonky trial. And then Jesus was led out to be put to death. You know, his mother saw him die. Imagine watching your own child be killed right in front of your eyes. I was there, hiding in the back. But I heard it all. I heard Jesus call out to his father, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Forgive us. Forgive me. I could hardly look at him. About noon, the sky went dark. It was dark for hours. It was as if the whole world was in mourning. And then he died. My heart sank. I heard the captain of the guard say, this man was innocent. A good man. An innocent man. And he was. I guess Cleopas and I were so focused on our conversation because we didn't see the stranger, a fellow Jew, walk up to us. He greeted us, in the usual way. And then he said, "What's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" Well, we stopped. We stared at him, and the sadness overtook us. It had been a heavy day. And then Cleopas said, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened? What's happened during the last few days?" And to my surprise, he replied, "What has happened?" Well, I tell you, he could have knocked me over with a feather. I dismissed him out of hand. I mean, how could he have not known? None of these things were done in secret. They're all done out in the open. How could he have not known about the goings on in Jerusalem? So I dismissed him and we started walking. But Cleopas, he's a more patient man than I am. And he replied, "Well, the things that have happened to Jesus the Nazarene." He was a man of God, Jesus the Nazarene, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Some thought he was one like Moses or Elijah, but we hope for more. You see, we had seen the miracles. We had seen the feeding of the 5,000 with just loaves and fishes, just a couple of loaves and fishes. And we were there. We were there when Jairus' daughter, that little girl, came back from the dead. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. She was dead, and then Jesus came. And she was alive. Surely you've heard about that. Well, he just smiled. So Cleopas continued. We had our hopes. We had our hopes up, you see, that he was the one. The one about to deliver Israel. The one who was going to deal with the oppressors and reclaim our land. But he wasn't supposed to die. I mean, that wasn't part of the plan. And now it's the third day since it happened. And some of our women, well, they've completely confused us. Early this morning, they were at the tomb. They'd got there early, but they couldn't find his body. And they came back to us with this story that they had seen some angels. Visions of angels. Anyway, the angels had said that Jesus was alive. Alive. I dismissed it out of hand. But some of our friends went off to the tomb to check, and they found out that just as the woman had said, they didn't see Jesus. He stopped and he looked at us and gently but with power said something that cut through bone and marrow straight into our spirits. So thick-headed, so slow-hearted, why can't you simply believe all that the prophet said? Don't you see that these things had to happen? That the Messiah had to suffer and only then into his glory? Well, I said, "What are you talking about?" I had no idea what he was talking about. This stranger on the road to Emmaus. I mean, that's not the sort of Messiah that I was thinking. I was thinking that, you know, this guy had it all wrong. But you know what? It was me. I had it all wrong. Yes, the Messiah had come to free the oppressed. And the Messiah had come to save me, but not from the Romans, to save me from myself. Jesus had come to save me from sin and fear and death itself. And then this stranger started at the beginning with the book of Moses and went through all the prophets. And he pointed out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. He told us the Messiah was triumphant. Yes. but not just over our current oppressors. No, the Messiah had come to deal with sin itself. And the Messiah, to do that, needed to suffer and die to take on the sins of the world. Well, the more he spoke, the more I realized that I had misunderstood and that I had not seen the truth nor the fullness of the revelation that he was explaining to us. Before long, we came to the edge of the city where we were headed, the village, Emmaus. And he acted as though he was going to continue walking. And so he said, "Hey, come, come and eat with us. Stay, stay and eat. Because, you know, the day is nearly over. The evening is upon us." So he came with us and he sat down at the table and he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to us. And that's when I saw it. It was exactly the same as when he had fed those 5,000. And at that moment, open wide, my eyes were open wide and I recognized him. And then he disappeared. Well, I tell you, the tiredness from the journey was gone in an instant. We had a new energy we hadn't ever felt before. And we were talking over the top of each other, backwards and forwards. And then Cleopas said, and then I said almost at the same time, "Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road? As he opened up the scriptures, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us from the word?" Well, we didn't waste a minute. We are up and on our way back to Jerusalem. We found the 11 and their friends, and they were all gathered together and they had their own stories, but we told them ours. We rushed in and we said, Jesus is alive." Well, I can hardly believe it, but it's true. Jesus is alive.
"The Lord walk beside you and to comfort you. The Lord walk above you to watch over you. May the Lord walk behind you to keep you safe. May the Lord walk before you to show you the way. The Lord bless you, watch, guard and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful and giving favour to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart and life continually. Amen."